Dear God, you are both great and greatly to be praised, maker of heaven and earth, upholder of all that draws breath. What a privilege and what a miracle that we may come to speak to you. For we know that you are pure and holy, the great creator of all that exists. What are we compared to you? We confessed it again this morning, imperfect, fallible, often struggling women and men. And yet we may come because of the miracle of your Son, Jesus Christ, he who manifested your love for a broken and fallen world, who came to our rescue, bringing peace between you and ourselves. And so we come this morning in his name, the one who said, ask my Father anything in my name, and he will hear you. What a marvelous invitation, and what a confidence that gives us when this morning, too, we lay before you concerns, some of the needs of our congregation. When we remember again, Tina Metz in her struggle with cancer, and her husband, Willard. When we remember Stephanie Taft's brother and her mother-in-law. When we remember, Lord, all those who are suffering, recovering, or hovering on the edges of health. Lord, as a family of faith, we ask, will you be mindful of each of us and give what is needed? We think of Judy Bontius' brother, Peter, who just was placed in a nursing home. What a tough adjustment, having just celebrated his 50th wedding anniversary. Lord, we pray for strength and for your nearness for Peter and his wife. And then we remember before you, too, Dirk Boy, who was just in Myanmar, coming home again tomorrow, helping out with the Rohingyas in their resettlement. Lord, what an awful situation that is. We think of those who are displaced, those with no place to go, those who are often resented at the borders that they try to cross, those who suffer throughout your world. Lord, have mercy. And will you bless those who seek to give relief and help? Will you be with Dirk, bring him home safely again tomorrow? And Father, what an opportunity you give us to pray beyond the walls of our own community, our own little worshiping circle, praying for all who need your grace and presence just as much as we ourselves do. We pray for our city, its mayor and council. We pray for our police force, for firemen. We pray for those who supply medical care in our community, for teachers and pupils, for all who make up the life of our great city. Lord, we ask for wisdom and compassion for all those who are in charge of others. And we add a prayer for all our fellow citizens. Lord, life in a city is not always easy. And in these days, we need to ask you safety from violence. And that can come in so many forms. May our city become a place of safety again for refugees, bicyclists, children, the homeless, for all who need it. Lord, there is so much to pray for. We think of our province, Ontario, our country, Canada, and we ask again for wisdom for those who rule and make decisions affecting others. And Lord, we haven't even touched yet on the rest of the world, a world that you love and for which Jesus came. We ask, Lord, for world peace with justice. We ask for your good news for that world, that it may be proclaimed with power and boldness, with love and wisdom. We pray for the work of mission and evangelism in word and in deed. And especially there where brothers and sisters in Christ are threatened with persecution and hardship of all kinds, keep them safe. May their testimony reach and win over the hearts of those who would threaten them. Lord, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, where Jesus, our advocate, has expelled the adversary, the devil, and pleads for us every day. Grant us a good service this morning. Meet us in our deepest needs and bless your word as it is read and proclaimed. We ask it all in the assurance that you both hear and answer in Jesus' name. Amen. Here is me trying to figure out whether I'm at the right place in the liturgy. It goes to show that I don't conduct services that often anymore. Our text for this morning, not a great surprise, the words you read in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, the ninth verse, where we read, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Dear people of God, I guess that there is one thing that we can all readily agree on this morning. It is this. You and I, we live in a world that is just brimful of violence, totally filled with violence. I mean, if you wanted lists, you want to go home before supper tonight. You can go from suicide bombers to school shootings, from verbal assaults in uncivilized political discourse to nuclear threat once again, from racial violence to road rage, not just involving automobiles, but bicycles even. You can go on and on. The list is inexhaustible. And even Toronto the Good has become Toronto the Gun. And who really feels safe anymore? That is our world, the world that our children and our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, will grow up in. It's the world that the Church of Jesus Christ finds itself in. The ironic thing is, did you know that one of the key words in Scripture is that little word, peace? I bet you could tell the entire story of salvation using that one word. It is striking how many times you read it. It starts already, if you are in the New Testament, with angels announcing peace on earth, the birth of the Prince of Peace. Jesus, who that same New Testament calls, he who is our peace, and who says in John 14, "Peace I leave with you, not as the world leaves, but I leave my peace with you." In John 16, "In me you have peace." Peter says in the book of Acts, God sent his good news of peace to Israel. Romans tells us, being justified, you have peace with God. Paul calls the gospel of peace. Congregations are addressed with those same words, "Peace be unto you." Romans 14, the kingdom of God is characterized as a kingdom of peace. Galatians 5, fruits of the Spirit, one of the key fruits, one of the chief components of that fruit, I should say, is peace. And I could go on and on and on, and I haven't even mentioned the Old Testament yet, and that wonderful word, shalom. But I will leave you in peace. And that's only a tiny selection, but it shows clearly how important that word peace is. But here's the kicker. Do we understand that word? Do we know what it means? Wouldn't it be great if we did? And if we could apply it to the world that so sorely needs that peace today? Peace and peacemakers. What is peace exactly? Does that sound like a silly question? What is peace? Well, peace means no violence, no war, the absence of physical conflict, right? When a big brother stops clobbering his little sister on account of a toy, there's peace. And if people in the Middle East stop shooting at each other, there's peace. If all the guns in North America were confiscated, what a lovely peace would result. You really think so? Is that what peace is all about? Let me give you a simple illustration. Some time ago, I talked to a young man about his childhood, his growing up, his parental home. He came from a very well-to-do family, nice home, what people would call an upper-class neighborhood. He had attended all the right and all the good schools, never been in trouble, had all the advantages in the world. And yet when he sat across from me, he said, "My childhood was so miserable. In that nice home, that nice neighborhood, he had become a nervous wreck." Why? Because, as he put it, we never had peace at home. Why? Did your parents fight like cats and dogs? Did they yell, throw things? No. Are you kidding? They were very correct. They wouldn't dream of hitting each other or using language that was not really proper. It's just that, they had built a wall around themselves. There was a coldness, a lack of love. They lived side by side without communicating. They inhabited the same space without caring for each other. And this boy had felt like crying out, like touching his parents' hearts, crying out for an end to the Cold War, for love and for real peace. He felt frozen out. What is peace? Is it the absence of open conflict? If you separate two fighting children and you say to them, "You go sit in that corner and you stay in that corner," have you created peace? What is peace? That, after all, is not such a silly question. I mean, it goes far deeper than some superficial politeness. It is a question that concerns my heart, the human heart. And as long as that heart is in turmoil, angry, cold, or spiteful, there can never be, really, never be any real peace. In spite of peacekeeping missions, timeouts, or restraining orders, or Camp David agreements, listen to the demands of the Lord Jesus. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Don't close your heart to others. Don't let anger rule your heart. Don't be swayed by a desire for vengeance. Peace. It's a question of the human heart, not a question of, "Oh, we got along," or, "Well, we're not fighting anymore," or, "We're staying together for the sake of the kids, you know," or, "We don't start anything out of fear of retaliation." It's not even a question of obeying a set of rules or giving the appearance of peace. For, says Jesus, if you hate your brother, you're guilty of murder. And if you love only those who love you, certainly won't get you to heaven. See, the only real and lasting peace comes from within, from a heart that bears the fruit of the Spirit, where that fruit flourishes: love, patience, joy, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and peace. Well, all right. If that's what peace is all about, it's certainly a lot easier to say it or to preach a sermon about it than to do it. Isn't that really a little bit absurd? So we as Christians are called to be peacemakers, right? Are we? How am I going to change the hearts of people? Can't even change my own heart. Sure, we can try to be nice to our neighbors. We can protest violence. We can write letters to the editor, send peacekeeping missions to foreign country. All good and noble things. I'm not knocking any of it. You should do all of the above and much more. But that real peace is that kind of a never, never kind of world. A nice dream to dream when you sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to His beautiful words in the Sermon on the Mount. How about reality? How many people in church can even say, I am completely filled with that great peace that Jesus speaks about? And then he adds, he had to add, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, who can do that? How in the world is that possible? How can we get this wonderful peace thing? Well, maybe the Holy Spirit has us right where He wants us right now. Where we admit right up front, you and I, can't lay hold of that peace. It passes our understanding and it exceeds our grasp. And we're not telling God anything new when we say that, when we admit that, for He knows. He knows who I am. He knows who you are. He searches the inmost depth of the human heart. And the good news of the gospel is that God said, you know what? I'm going to work on that heart. Not our work, not my work, but His work. He sent to earth the great peacemaker, the reconciler, the Prince of Peace, His Son, Jesus Christ. To earth, that place of strife and hatred, where to this day, people are still shooting at each other in what some folks optimistically call the Holy Land. He sent him to this lovely planet that became loveless and turned its back on him to bring peace. How? Just by talking about it? Saying, you know, folks, you really ought to get along better with one another. Be a little bit nicer to each other. Do unto others, you know. That would be really great. Cool. He did it by laying down His life, dying on a cross, by taking into Himself and upon Himself all the violence of sin and bringing peace between God and the world He loved, by overcoming sin, death, and the devil, and rising from the grave in victory, ascending into heaven, and said, through faith in me, I invite you to share in my victory and to receive the gift. A gift is not something you have. A gift is something that is given to you. I will give you the gift of my Holy Spirit in your heart to assure you, I am a child of God. And I will bring you peace, a gift that you will marvel at because it will surpass your understanding. And as the Bible says, as I accept Him, it is no longer I who lives, but He who lives in me. Jesus said to His disciples the night when He ate a last supper with them, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things and bring to your mind everything that I have spoken. So, peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives peace. You don't need to be afraid. It will be a lasting peace, a peace of a different magnitude. Blessed are the peacemakers. That means blessed are those whose hearts have been touched and radically altered by the Holy Spirit, whose hearts have become, as it were, a tree that begins to bear the fruit of the Spirit and who now live in the strength of the Prince of Peace. Christians, you and I, are called to be peacemakers. Seemingly an impossible task in a wicked world, as impossible as changing a man or a woman's heart. But what was not possible with us was possible with God in Jesus Christ. And to proclaim His name, to lift up His name, faithfully to follow Him, to pray for His peace, to more and more overflow rebellious hearts. That is the only answer for a world racked by pain, misery, war. Oh, I'm sure I should repeat that and stress that for a minute so you don't misunderstand me this morning. We should do all the other things as well. I'm not here to spiritualize peace. We should do all the good and noble and necessary things that make outward conflict stop. We should not only pray for that, but act for that and write a letter to the editor. Contact your member of parliament. Do whatever you can. That's great. But understand it well. At the core of humanity's lack of true peace lies its estrangement from its Creator, from the only one who can bring peace. Jesus Christ brings that peace. The only one who can change hearts and free people from what Paul called the deeds of the flesh. And in another translation, the passage you heard this morning mentions the deeds of the flesh. All the things that are totally opposite of peace. Enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying. Lord God in heaven, from all these things, free us and grant us your Spirit, and that Spirit will lead in the way of gentleness and peace. And when that peace fills your heart, you may in turn become a channel of peace for others, bringing forth in your life the fruit of salvation for yourself and for others. Praise be the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of our peace. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, may you, through the powerful working of the Holy Spirit, enter people's hearts. Fill our hearts more and more with true peace. Fill our hearts with a deep love for you, that we may become channels of your marvelous grace and a deep peace that passes understanding. Amen.